Take your Bible and go to John chapter 12. We would see Jesus. Some of the Greeks came to Philip and they said, "We would see Jesus. Sir, we would see Jesus." And no longer I live, no more I'm convinced that Jesus is the main reason that we have any hope at all. Amen. This whole world is my body's changing. Man, I can't walk half the time. Things are breaking down. They've worked for years. Till I was 60, I'd never been in the hospital. Never been to a doctor much. I've been in the hospital three or four times here in the last few years. And things break down. You know, as you get older, they say it's a golden years. Anybody that ain't lived it says that. Ain't nothing golden about it. When you're breaking down and when things are not working like they used to, I thank the Lord. The folks that I've known here for years, many of you I've known for many years. I look back over my ministry in 33 years that I was here. They went by so fast. And there were times when I thought that I preached that sermon and nobody's going to come back. I've had that feeling many times. You know, you got to read good. When the storms of life batter you, make sure your feet are planted on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Do not despair. Ask him, what am I going to do? Rather, what is he going to do? And at best, be assured he is doing something when your life is falling apart. Read good. Anything by Corrie Ten Boom.
Amen.
She was a lady that was a Dutch lady. Her father had a watch shop. And when the Germans came to Holland, she was wondering what was going to happen. And she was wondering if they were going to get her, and they finally did. Put her in a concentration camp. And I think the thing I like about reading her, because I've read every book Darlene has, she got from Kay, I think. Did you get it from Kay?
Yeah,
I'm here. Oh, the big L! The big L, huh? How many remember Leona? There's only one Leona, right? Thank the Lord for that. There was only one Leona. But in her books, she's honest about what she's going through. She'll admit when she makes a mistake and says, "I was this and I was that." A lot of people, when they write books, they don't tell you the deal. They don't tell you the reality of how they're making it. She gets in there and she talked about how the Germans put her in a concentration camp. Her and her sister were in there. Her sister died. They killed her sister. But she didn't give up on the Lord. And finally, she got released from Rakhlevia. Concentration camp, and was free, and God called her to go around the world. And she went around the world, various people, and ministered and said some things that I think that a lot of people that got her, anything she writes, you ought to read. She writes so plain and so simple and so honest. She says when she makes mistakes, "You are what you read." I get the thing I just read this morning, tonight, was from Dr. Charles Stanley. Now, I don't agree with everything about Charles Stanley, but he's a good man. He gives you some insights that you're not going to get anywhere else. Mom, we used to say, when they print better sermons, I'll preach better sermons. Mom had a big church in Dayton, Ohio. He started from nothing. He was something else. You didn't know my uncle. You didn't know anybody. Because he was something else. He was Mr. Excitement. I used to love to be around him. I didn't want to ride with him. Because he drove like he stole the thing. He stole the thing. He didn't drive very safely. But he never had an accident, I don't think. But Dr. Stanley Anything you can get from him. I like his devotion. You can't beat the price. He'll send it to you for nothing. For free. Every once in a while in his books, he'll make you an offer to give you a free book. I write it and say, I want that book. He's very practical. He comes at it from the different ways than what normal people do. Dr. Stanley is a good man. Like I say, I don't agree with everything he does. Dr. Stanley is a straight shooter. He says things that you wouldn't think about. And I read his devotions every day. I try to read the first 15 or 20 days in the month, and then the rest of the month I add the other ones to it. It speaks to my heart. In the books he's given away, I've got for nothing. You can't beat that. What we do with Jesus, what's the right thing to do? John chapter 12 and verse 25, it talks about, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. The Lord there tells us one of the principles that we all live on. What you do with your life is your choice. I thank the Lord that I used to visit all the time. We had a lady come forward this morning. She got saved and fell on the hand this morning. Dr. Fox, he's a good preacher. It just happens illustrating they're true. He's a good man. You know, when Howard used to preach, he'd tell illustrations about how he won everybody to the Lord. If half of what he said was true, it was good. He talked about when he went to a dentist office one time. There was a lady in there that needed some dental work, and she couldn't pay for it. And the dentist said how much it would be. Dr. Howell said, I'll pay for that. He paid for that. He was a kind man. The Lord says in the Bible that you've got a life to live. And if you lose it, in other words, you put him first, you'll gain in this life and the next.
Amen.
The answer to that question, what will we get out if we do the right thing with Jesus Christ? If you do the right thing with Jesus, the Christ of God, you have everything worth having for time as well as for eternity. I don't know about your life. We all live different lives. We do different things every day. If you do the wrong thing with Jesus Christ, we'll lose everything worth having for time and for eternity. Jesus is the main reason we can get up in the morning. No matter what's going on, good or bad, up or down, in or out, we can know that we're living for the Lord and we're living for something bigger than us.
Amen.
I feel sorry for people that don't live for the Lord. They know the Lord, but they don't want to live for Him. Sometimes they go to church and they do just as little as they can get away with as far as the church, as far as the Lord's concerned. Take your Bible and go to 2 Chronicles chapter 30. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. The Bible says this, and if you turn to get unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before, so they shall come again unto the land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his faith from you if you return unto him. It's what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ that matters. in this life and the next.
Amen.
I've been doing some studying about the next life. We're not going to be sitting on a cloud playing a harp or anything like that. You're going to get exactly what you deserve in the next life. Your faithfulness in this life for the Lord is going to be rewarded. There are many passages in the Bible that tell us, and you know that what's going to happen is there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. We're going to come back to earth again.
Amen.
And our faithfulness to the Lord now, many times I went visiting, and I had a bad night. And I come home and I tell Darla, and I said, man, I had such a bad night. And she said, you've done what God wanted you to do. You've given out the word. You've given out the word. And that will keep me going.
Amen.
For the next time. I used to visit Tuesday night, Thursday night, and Saturday. I did that for many years. And I had a lot of fellows in the church that went with me. In fact, the fellows that I spent the most time with ever amounted to a hill of beans, you know. But I visited with a fellow one time. Remember Nate Weiser?
Yeah.
He come one night with a cowboy coat, a little fluffle, what do you call them things,
darling?
Fringe. You know, I said, Nate, you can't come out. We're not going out visiting like that. He went and changed it. He never acted like he was really interested in what I was doing. But Nate, you know, today I think he's serving the Lord.
Amen.
He got away from the Lord. He used to pull in front of my house, turn his radio up, rock and roll music, and make sure I hear it. Nate got right with the Lord.
Amen.
He seen the big fella was out. I was out visiting. Week after week after week. I went with Mike, what's his last name? I'm going to go see Mike if I can get his address. If his grandma can get his address, I'm going to go over and see him. Knock on his door and go in there and say, Mike, what has happened to you? I remember we used to go every night. The thing he held against me, he used to buy me Freezies. And he bought me a Freezy one night, and I poured it out. He saw me do it. That had bothered him. I said, Mike, I'm sorry. I can't drink this because it's bad for me. But Mike was something else. We used to go, and he would go with me every week. For a long time, we'd go together. Nate, I went for 2 or 3 years with him, didn't I? He's living for the Lord, serving the Lord, doing what God wants him to do. I tried to take men out with me. And I remember a fellow last night. What was I listening to last night? Wasn't nothing bad, I don't think. The fellow this morning talked about going back in a shed, witnessing to this guy, leading to Christ. You know, visitation is a wonderful thing. It separates the men from the guys. From the boys, you know, I used to take him out with me on visitation. We did that for years. I'd take him with me. I guess I even took Goose, didn't I? Sometimes I took Goose with me. You know, that's the best way to find out how to live for the Lord, is go out with somebody that's doing it. And get out there and see how they act. See how they react. Learn how to live for the only way I tell folks when I take them out is just do the opposite of what I'm going to do here. You can see me to do tonight, and that will be good. You just do the opposite of that, and you'll be fine. But I can remember so many nights we went out, and if people weren't home, if they were home, they didn't give a hoot. I'd have people falling on their knees and repenting. I wish that was true, but it wasn't like that. When God says, go, we're on a spring program, and this week's theme was go to church. Was it go to the prayer closet?
That's next week.
What's this week?
Go to America.
Oh, it was go to America? Okay. Then they're going to go to your prayer closet. You have a prayer list? You have a prayer list? You all pray a prayer list. Nothing wrong with that. I like to be organized. When I work on a sermon, I like to do them ahead of time. And I had a prayer list. I still have a prayer list.
Amen.
I got it on a yellow card, a big yellow card, a 4x6 yellow card. And then I've got a list of all the families in the church. And I don't pray for them every day. I wish I did. They used to give us a bulletin with all the missionaries they had in the church. And I used to pray for those. Folks, I believe we need to have an organization in prayer. You have a prayer list? You don't have one? Get one. In the first place, if you do the right thing with Jesus, you will have forgiveness of all your sins. People today don't care about sin. They don't care about the forgiveness of sin. They think they can live like they want to, and they don't have to answer to God. Forgiveness of sins depends on what we do with Jesus Christ. Not what you do with the church, with a creed, with Jesus Christ. He that believeth hath everlasting life. John says, if you believe, you won't be condemned. If you don't believe, you'll be condemned. Forgiveness brings joy anywhere you are, whether in the palace or in the prison cell. Forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
When David kept silent, he'd been out running around with a woman, got her pregnant, killed her husband. He was even done a lot of stuff. David, the sweet psalmist, he was a great guy. But David had a lust problem. He had a problem with lust. He talks about it in Proverbs, or Psalm 32. Go to Psalm 32. He says, blessed is the man, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. You know, you can't sin and get by with it as a Christian. God will beat you to death. You don't make things right. We do things sometimes, we look at ourselves and we say, how could I do that? I don't know how many times I've said to my wife, how could I do that? How could I say that? David found forgiveness. A fellow named Nathan had put his hand and finger in his face. He said, thou art the man. He told about a fellow that had a prize sheep. This other fellow came in and killed his prize sheep. And David came off that pulpit and came off that throne and said, you show me who that guy David knew what it was to kill a man. He didn't walk up there and forgive Goliath's sin. He cut his head off. That means he whooped him. David knew what it was to let blood. He knew what it was to kill a person. And Psalm 32 and verse 3, when I give silence, my bones wax old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. So I. David didn't get it straightened up. He didn't get it straightened up with the Lord. How is it going to be, Mr. Bill, I break this thing? When it breaks and falls on the carpet,
we'll clean it up, preacher.
I broke everything they had around here. For many, many times, I did. I would gyrate it in the pulpit, you know, like preachers do. And I would knock this off and knock that off. David found out when he didn't get things right, his life wasn't right.
Amen.
When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into drought of summer. David says, when I didn't get things right, it wasn't right. I didn't feel right. In fact, the man of God named Nathan told him a story about it. A fellow that had a prize lamb. Remember the story? David said, who is that God? I'm going to get up off this throne and I want to kill him. Nathan, the man of God, stuck his finger in his face. He said, thou art the man. He let David know that God was upset with what he was doing. David repented. He didn't even pay for his sin. He never get bothered with sin. And then David found repentance. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Verse 2. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in spirit there is no God. I heard a story about a man that was in Sing Sing prison. He somehow got a hold of the Bible and started reading it. And he found the Lord as his Savior, reading the Bible. When he got saved, he started hollering. He said, man, I praise you, God! I'm saved! The guard said, shut up in there! Bill said, I can't help it. I've really done something here. My sins are all forgiven. I'm on my way to heaven. Amen. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on the Lord. Isaiah 26, verse 3 said, you have the peace of conscience. And we all got things on our past that we're ashamed of when we did. I have things in my past. When I was a kid, I did some stupid things. I remember when my brother and I were teenagers. We hitchhiked down to the Virginia line and bought firecrackers. And we came back and Dad said, did you buy firecrackers? And we lied and said we didn't. My brother turned me in. He said, listen, Dad, Bob went with me. You never got a whipping until you got to pull your pants down. And he had beat on your tail with a belt. To this day, if I tell a lie, I get under conviction because of that time. The place of conscience in the Christian's life, you know, the devil will. I remember hearing Roy Thompson, Dr. Roy Thompson, is a man of God. I don't care what you say about him. He came over to my house when Pamela was over there, and he said, Pam, I'm going to be your grandfather. And when I'm in the area, when he was in 50 miles of this area, he would pull up and see Pam. He could do no wrong. And I remember when he got sick. He had some kind of a cancer. He said the devil came up to him and reminded what he did before he got saved. And he said, you ain't saved. Look at what you did. Boy, had to get back in the Bible and refute the devil with the word of God. That's what you do with it. That's what you. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, he used the Bible. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You know, you get deliverance from the power of sin. When you're not a Christian, you don't have any power over sin. You can't say no to it. Well, it's heinous sins that we have, that we've done things we're ashamed of. I remember things that my brother and I did when we was kids. I have things in my past that I'm not proud of. Every once in a while, the devil will bring them up to me. If I've got forgiveness from them, I don't have to worry about them anymore. They're gone, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west. My sins are delivered. I'm delivered from my sins. The east is from the west. They've never measured it. You can't measure it. You know, you have great joy when your sins are forgiven. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. When having whom having not seen, you love, and whom though now you see him from him not, yet believing, and rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what Christians can do. If your sins are forgiven, if you've been born again, you come as an unsaved person. and you receive Jesus as your Savior, and he gives you his righteousness. Your righteousness, it's not that you do anything to get righteousness. You just get righteousness of Christ. Amen. From him. Just by believing on him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
You know what? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You get eternal life. We Baptists believe it's eternal, eternal life. We don't think we lose it.
Right.
Church of Christ can. I've asked a Church of Christ people, what if somebody's up in ICU and they're dying and you go up there, you can't get them saved because they can't baptize them up there. They never want to answer that. Anytime you talk to Church of Christ people, all they want to talk about is baptism. Folks, baptism is a picture of what you've already done. That's all it is. You become a child of God. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. A child of God. You see the commercial with the lady on TV. She says, man, I got this ancestry and uncle. George is my uncle. George who? George Washington is my uncle. Or I think she said, my aunt is related to George Washington. I don't want to go back in my past. A lot of people swinging. From a branch. We become the sons of God.
Amen.
Sons and daughters. You know, when you get saved, you get into a new family. I remember we used to go up and see my uncle. When I was a kid, we'd go up there and stay with them. And I felt like I was somebody big time in that church. I felt like I walked off the floor a little bit. I was my uncle's. He was my uncle. We become a child of God. Isn't that great?
Amen.
We become a child of God. And then we become just like Christ. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Go to 1 John. If you ain't got a Bible, get a song book out and make sure. I need you to turn the page there. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. You know, I tell you what, at night, you know what gabapentin is? How many knows what that is? I take that, my feet hurt every night. I feel like I got a pair of boots on when I go to bed. I can't get mom to rub my feet. She don't like to do that. She never was into that. You got gabapentin? I got neuropathy in my legs. I got the diabetes. Now don't tell me you get it from eating sugar and all that stuff. They don't know what causes it. You know, of course they tell me not to eat sugar. I try not to. But neuropathy, it hurts my hand. My wife's hands hurt. She's got more aches and pains. You know, when she goes to church and they say, how you doing? You got a half hour? She'll tell you about more aches and pains. Women do that, don't they? Fellas, don't they do that? They give you a list of their ailments. If they don't have any ailments, they'll think up some. I'm getting old. You know, I'll tell you what. Here, Brother Matt's got me sitting down. You know, he don't want me to get on the platform. Well, he don't want us to eat. Wants me to fall off the platform like I did that Sunday morning. Remember what Mr. Bell, when I did that? And you called and had the rescue squad come over here and they said, you want to go? I want to go to the hospital. I got better. I fell off the platform. Getting old is great for people that ain't old, you know? People that are old, they don't like it. Things break down. Things don't work the way they used to work. I'm going to become just like Christ. One of these days, my body's going to be perfect. I'm not going to have any more neuropathy.
Yeah, see.
Sometimes my arms hurt. You don't want to hear about it. People say, how you doing? You don't want to know how you feel. You say, yeah, I'm doing great. You're not doing great. You're lying. You got your left ear when you say that. You got aches and pains, and the older you get, the worse it gets. I can't imagine what I'm going to be when I'm 80 if I live that long. I'll be going, you know, I'll be like, you ever seen Tim Conway do that? Skip when he walks like an old man? He does. I remember there was a fellow that worked for Dr. Thompson that worked, that had their school. They had a school up there that people could go to. My son went there, and he graduated from there. And I forget his name, Dr. Strachan. Man, I noticed when he was getting old, I mean, he was just hunched over and didn't hardly make it. He just was getting old. You could tell he was getting old. I remember when John Francis, Dr. Francis over here, when he was 80 years old and he died, he was already dead 4 or 5 years before he died. I shouldn't say that. He was a good friend. He was a good man. You know, they great. You young buckaroos, you like you kids. Now, you do got nothing wrong with you, do you? Anything wrong with you? What do you got? What's going on here? Nothing wrong with you. You're a kid. Ain't nothing wrong with you. Nothing's wrong with you. There's going to be someday. It's going to be not. My son is 47. He's a hunk. He's a hunk. He pulls me up. I fall down. I was on the floor 8 hours one day, and I said, "Mom, get Kurt. Tell him to come over and get me." And he come over there, got me up. I said, "Kurt, it's going to be this way. You're going to be this way someday. Someday you're going to be bad. As I am now. You'll be it. But someday I'm going to have a perfect body. I'll have perfect eyes. I got, what do they call those things on? Cataracts. They're not that good. They're not that bad, right?
Yeah, right now you're going to get cataract surgery.
I'm going to get cataract surgery like Mom had, you know. Her eyes hurt. They dilute my eyes, dilate my eyes. You kids don't worry about that. You got perfect eyesight. Enjoy your life now. It's a shame they waste good health on young folks. Little Sophie, you ain't got nothing wrong with you, do you? Except you're sucking your thumb off. I shouldn't say that. I'm just teasing. But you get old. Someday we're going to have perfect bodies. We're going to be able to move at the speed of thought. The Bible said Jesus appeared to his disciples. He came through the door. He came through the door. He appeared to see him once he got his glorified body. Someday we're going to have a glorified body. What's the right thing to do with Jesus Christ? Well, we receive him as your Savior.
Amen.
That's not a big deal. You got to make up your mind. You can't save yourself. You got to give yourself to the Lord and say, "Lord, if I'm going to make it to heaven, it's because of you. What you did on the cross." Receive him as your Savior. From sin? You're saved from the power of sin?
Amen.
Folks say, "I can't help it." You can too. We just don't want God to give us the power to do what we ought to do. Let it in your heart. Lord, you come in and reign. Somebody's going to be the boss of your life. It might as well be the Lord. If it ain't the Lord, it's the devil. You got no choice. He's the Lord or the devil. Let him into your heart. Lord Jesus, come in and reign. Tell me what to do, Lord, and I'll do it. And throw him in your heart. Confess him before the Lord. You know something? I don't know what this means. I really don't know what this means. Matthew chapter 10. Jesus says some strange things here. Matthew chapter 10, he said, whosoever therefore confess me before men, him will I, I don't understand that. Also, before my Father which is in heaven. But whoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. I don't know what that means. Have you got any tracts with you? You ought to have some. I always buy shirts with pocky now. I don't like a shirt with no pocky. I buy what do you want to call it, pocket tees. So I can put tracks in them. Sometimes I go out and I forget the tracks. I feel naked. Because everybody I'm around, I like to get the tracks. Tell them how to be saved,
even.
You say, I'm a lady, you got pockets, you got a purse. Where are your purse? Put them in your purse. You always have them. I had wonderful conversations with people at Walmart. They got souls up there. They got souls up there. And if we don't tell them how to go to heaven after they're dead, who's going to tell them if we don't? See, preacher, God's not holding me responsible. You go through that line and get them groceries. I remember we spent $50 for groceries and we were thrilled to death. Now we spend $100. We're thrilled. Look at how food has went up. I go in there and tell them every week. I say, if it's $150, I ain't paying for it. Of course, if it's $150, I didn't pay for it. But you give a lady, check you out in the grocery line. Give her a track.
Amen.
You know people at Walmart don't have, they don't have souls, but they're going to go somewhere when they die. Even the folks at Acme. Chicken, you ever got any tracks at Acme?
Not from people.
Not from people. Well, you got aliens up there? Somebody's not doing their job up there. Christians ought to be passing out tracks. Amen?
Amen.
How many would agree with that? Raise your hand up.
Amen.
What are you doing? Have you done it this week?
Good.
I feel naked if I forget my tracks. Sometimes I do. I put it in my pocket. Preacher, I wouldn't know what to say. Hey, can I give you something good to read? People at Walmart have souls. I have to give an account for them when I go there and buy groceries. This is one day I was talking with one of the pharmacists. Her name is Veronica. She said she's never going to come to my church. I always tell her every week, I got a place for you. She knows I'm teasing. I shared the gospel with her one day at Walmart. She's a pharmacist. Pharmacists can get saved, you know. They need the Lord. She got married, got pregnant, got triplets in there. I told Matt, I got to talk with him, tell him, he got 12 kids. You know, how many kids you got this week?
Seven.
And you're not pregnant? Matt's falling down on a job, you know. She's got triplets. Maybe someday, if she goes to church, she's on First Baptist Church in Kenmore. I tried to tell her how to be saved. And, go away, big fella! I know that's what she's thinking. Get out of my face, big fella. I don't want your church. Someday when the Lord talks to her, she'll find the Lord. She'll come to church. Not Emmanuel Baptist Church. You're coming to First Baptist Church. What's the name of that church, Donald?
Kenmore.
Kenmore. It's First Baptist Church of Kenmore. And she gets right with God. That's what she'll come one day to church and hear the pastor preach. And he preaches good. He's a good preacher. He does a good job. I'll tell you, I've been in that church over a year. I never heard him preach a bad message. Been 2 years. I've never heard him preach a bad message. He has a number, and sometimes he preaches to a quarter of one. I think, you know, we got it last week, and it was quarter of one. I never heard him preach a bad message. And I told him, and I'll tell this to many fellows. I said, preacher, I think you have the power of the Holy Spirit on you. I appreciate he does. He preaches with God's power on him. He don't appreciate everything that Brother Matt does. Hey, when's the last time you gave a preacher a compliment? Remember when I left you? I said, you better remember his birthday, his wife's birthday. You guys doing that?
So they are.
They are?
Yes, sir.
Your anniversary too?
Yes, sir.
Well, they listen to me. That's the first time they ever listened to me. When's the last time you gave a preacher a compliment? Say, preacher, that was a great message. You stirred my heart up. When he does something good, tell him he does good. Because when he does bad, you tell him you're going to let him know that. Give the preacher. Now, how about chicken out here planting a piano? You know, a year ago, how long she went on with you, darling? 2 years?
She was playing piano with me. She was little.
She's little now. Oh, she's still a little. Well, what kind of old was she when she started?
Not sure.
Five? 16 now? You did good tonight. You know what they do at my church? Every time the piano is they clap. You ought to start doing that for Chicken when she does a good job. Even when she don't do so good, you clap, make her feel important. My wife gets up there, and if she hits a good note, it's lucky if she does. You know what the preacher said this morning? Pastor said, fellows preaching today, he said, boy, you did a good job of that offertory. In fact, he said something after church. She did good on the offertory this morning. You know, people like to hear that. People like to have to be appreciated. That's the reason you guys got to take care of Brother Matt. At Christmas time, you give me Christmas presents? You do? That's good. Have a collection for you. I remember when I first went to Glenn Rogers over at Temple Baptist. They took a collection for him, and he gave me some of his. People know you're pretty. Hey, you know, when they're laying in a casket, they can't smell the flowers. People get flowers when people die. You know, why do they do that? It's just some good tradition we have in our country. They can't smell the flowers! Preacher, get up there and think of all the good stuff they did. They can't hear that. Give them compliments while they're alive. If somebody's faithful around here, let them know you appreciate it.
Amen.
God works the sound. If he don't work the sound, it don't make any sense. Mm-hmm. We just lost our sound man at First Baptist. And him and his wife and three kids left. Probably going to another church. Probably coming over here. You know, who knows? But remember, let in your life, make him your Lord and your Savior. Make him the boss. You know, in the mafia, the boss could do no wrong. Remember John Gotti in New York City? He killed his boss, Paul Castellano. He murdered him. He had a couple of guys kill him. He became the boss. He didn't say no to the boss. The boss said, you got to whack somebody, you whack them. Do what the boss tells you. Who's your boss tonight? Is Jesus your boss? If not, make him your boss tonight. Let him run your life. I tell you, I've been in the ministry many years. I would trade anything that I had. I worked for preachers that weren't worth shooting. But you know, I've always tried to be faithful to the Lord, do what he called me to do. That's worth something when you're dead. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. We can all be faithful. We can't all be successful, but we can all be faithful. What God's called you to do. If you're a church member, you be here every service. Sing the songs. Give an offering. Give it to the Lord. He'll bless you for it. Well, I've been preaching long enough. Enough is enough. But I can honestly say this. I've never been sorry that I give my life to the Lord. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Man, I'm going crazy here. I should. If you're here tonight, and God is not God of your life, why don't you make him that? Make him the Lord of your life. Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. Lord, when you say jump, I'll say how high you want me to jump. God speaks to your heart tonight. We have an invitation. God speaks to your heart tonight. I remember we built this building on Bob Mount. He fixed the altar so you can get to it real quick and easy. He made it, there's a curved board on it. We built this building. You put your knees on a place at the altar, get right with the Lord. Are you right with the Lord tonight? If you're not, would you get right tonight? You know what's holding you back. God, speak your heart tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.